We give you all honor and all glory. We thank you for being here in your abundance tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you're pouring out your Spirit upon your people. We thank you, Father God, that you're changing, rearranging, making us into vessels of honor, vessels that you can work through. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, Father, your Holy Spirit, your angelic host, your love, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm going to give a little bit of a testimony here. My brother lives 5 hours away, but I don't get to see him very often. But I called him last night, and I found out that his 24-year-old grandson, a year and a half ago, was in a horrific car accident. He broke every bone in his body. His both legs were broke 4 places. His arms were broke, both of them broke 3 places. The tire came up through the car and hit him in the mouth and broke all of his teeth out of his mouth. His lungs were collapsed. He had head injuries. And the doctor said that he wouldn't live. They airlifted him over here to Baltimore Trauma Unit. He lives in Pennsylvania. Well, he did live. They put him in a coma because of all the broken bones and everything and the pain, he wouldn't be able to endure it. And he did live. And while he was in the hospital, he got, is it Mercer? And they wanted to take his right arm off and cut his leg off. And his father said, no, you're not going to take his limbs off of him. I want you to listen to this. And so anyhow, he lived, and he can use his right arm, but not his right hand. His hand just hangs there. And they had to do a lot of skin grafting because the Mercer ate holes in his arm. And my brother said it's ugly looking because of the way they did the skin grafts and everything. But they got him an electric wheelchair, and he used it for a month or two, and he said, I don't need this. Then he got on crutches, and he's walking on crutches for a little bit, and he said, I don't need these either. And he started walking with a cane. Now, you know, my brother, they were twins, and we were really close, my two brothers and I, and I always drug them to church when they was younger. But when they turned 18, then they quit going to church with me. Well, I really got married, and that's why they quit. But these people don't go to church. They don't sin in any way. You know, they don't do drugs. They don't carouse around, and, you know, they don't drink. And my brother was always a wonderful father to his children. And then, so then, of course, his children were wonderful parents to their children. And so there's just a loving, kind family. And he does watch Christian TV, but he has a lot of questions about what happens on Christian TV. And he said to me, he said, this was a total miracle, but he won't go to church. But my point here is, and I said, well, how is he? Is he happy? Is he depressed? What? He says, he's himself. Laughs and goes on, you know, and not depressed, not blaming anybody. You know, and he's just taught himself to walk and to use his arm, and he's good to go. Of course, you know, he's totally disabled because of all of his injuries, but he's happy. You don't see that in the house of God. Somebody says something bad you don't like, you throw a fit. And there's no negative words being spoken in the family. And he's just gone off his life, and his girlfriend didn't leave him. She stayed with him, you know, because, you know, they just, up there, us country folks, we believe you love somebody, no matter what happens to them. But, you know, I said, you know, Dutchie, that's a wonderful miracle that happened to him. And, you know, because they thought he was going to die, well, he was dying when they, you know, airlifted him over here to Baltimore, they blamed the accident on him. And then after he got better, now the hospital, Then they got a lawyer, and you know, they do all this fancy stuff now. Well, they have proven that she hit him head on. And excuse me, so now, of course, they're going after their insurance company to pay all these bills that they had to put out. But even in all that, there's not one negative word being spoken. You know, and nobody's down in the mouth about it. He's not feeling sorry for himself. And he's taught himself to use that arm. Can't use a hand, but he's taught himself to use the arm. And it's his right arm that happened to, so now he had to teach himself to be left-handed. I think I'd rather live his life than the church life. Because the church doesn't live like that. There was no blame in anybody. And the only reason why they, you know, did what they did for the insurance is because they didn't have the money to pay all these bills that were coming up with all the time he was in the hospital and everything and what happened afterwards. Body of Christ, when are we ever going to be a church? And he said, Jimmy, do you still preach? They call me Jimmy Beckham. Do you still preach? I said, yeah. Still live for God? I said, yeah. And he laughed, you know. He is not down on me. But one time he said to me, he said, I can't believe how close you lived to God and the way your girls turned out. My daughters were the wild bunch. But still in all, I'm just saying that these people, they love God, but they live the life of a Christian and don't go to church. Why don't they go to church? They see too many people in the church doing things they shouldn't be doing. Are they going to go to heaven? You better believe they're going to go to heaven. I can say that. I can't say that about some people in the house of God. I really hope you think about that and look at your own life, and you're healthy. You make your own problems. He was just going to see his girlfriend that night, and he hasn't been the same since. But the girlfriend didn't leave him, and he's not blaming the other woman, other girl for hitting him. He just wants to be happy. Why does the house of God do what they do? Why do you even get saved? You really need to ask it. Why do I even go to church? If I'm going to still live like the devil, why do I go into the house of God and cause others like my brother and him not to go to church? Are you listening here? I hope you're listening, and I hope you get the point here. If you're going to profess to be a child of God, then be a child of God. Live the life of a child of God. And quit blaming your problems on somebody else. All right, we're going to talk about warfare here tonight. This is God dictated this message. We're not doing John Ramirez tonight. This is what God spoke. God said, the battle is on. The enemy camp is bursting with deep evil against my true believers. The adversary himself is in the midst of the schemes. In other words, God said he doesn't trust his little minions anymore. He's right out there in the front line also. He is leaving no stone unturned in his vengeance against my body and this country. Evil like you have never seen before has approached not only the shorelines, but it has crept in upon the land itself. And it is trying to devour all that is true and honest. Are you hearing what God is? This is God speaking this, not me. I have given you weapons of warfare to destroy this demonic entourage. Use them. Pick up the sword and buckler and go forth as David went forth to destroy the Goliath. The Goliaths are all over the land, destroying the truth and leaving behind their diabolical lies. Let's read that again. I have given you weapons of warfare to destroy this demonic entourage. Use them. pick up the sword and buckler, and go forth as David went forth to destroy Goliath. The Goliaths are all over the land, destroying the truth and leaving behind their diabolical lies. Now Psalm 91:3-4 says, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." Now the shield and buckler is God's protection. David took God's protection with him when he went to battle. He's telling you and I to take his protection with us as we go into battle. God said the enemy has engaged all of the inferno to destroy, and I put hell fires down there because that's what inferno means. The enemy has engaged all the inferno, hell's fires, to destroy. The naked ones have no chance against this onslaught of the wicked evil one. The naked ones are those who have not been prepared for the coming disaster. They are not walking in the spirit. Are you seeing that? Do you know how many people are even sitting in the house of God that they don't have one clue of what's going on in the atmosphere? They don't understand anything. They're just going to church. They're not even reading a word. They're just going to church and just trusting in what the pastor's saying, and they're just acting like, you know, life is life and there's no tomorrow, and do what you want to do. The enemy is causing the body of Christ to be a stench in the nostrils of God. God said their countenance will soon turn to one of complete shock as fear creeps in over this land. He's talking about the naked ones. Then he says, church, ultimate fear is coming. Stay in peace. Children, you must stay in perfect peace if you're going to bring hope to what soon will become a hopeless generation. I have judged the land, my church leaders, the churches themselves, and even the remnant ones. I have filtered out the wheat from the tares, and I am engaging my body in this battle for souls like never before. The greater works are here amongst you. Evil has covered the earth in its deepest form. You are living in the days of Noah. You are living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. You are living in the days of Elijah. These are the days of Elijah is a phrase that appears in a song and is a reference to the biblical figure Elijah. Elijah's story can be found in the book of Kings, where he felt isolated and alone in the culture in which he lived. But God told him to stand up and speak for him. The phrase is used to describe the current times and the desire for an anointing like Elijah's mantle to bring change to those around us. All right, Elijah's story can be found in the book of Kings, where he felt isolated and alone in the culture in which he lived. But God told him to stand up and speak for him. How many of you might be feeling isolated and alone in the culture that we're living in today? But God is saying for you to get up. It doesn't matter if you have friends. It doesn't matter who's talking about you. Get up and go forth and teach my people about my son Jesus. We are not being the warriors that God has called us forth to be. We are so quick to agree with the enemy and so quick to come against those who are trying to help us. That is a stench to God's nostrils also. Many in the body of Christ are going to find themselves isolated, not because they're doing good, but because they're coming against God's people, the apple of his eye. And God is saying, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. And he's about ready to vindicate a whole lot of people. You know, we've been living just like Jesus has been living. Nobody liked him. Well, a lot of people didn't like him. They talked about him. They said all manner of evil about him. And Jesus never tried to vindicate himself because he knew who he was. And he knew his Father would vindicate him at the right time. We're too busy trying to vindicate ourselves, and we aren't doing any good in the body of Christ. All right. God said, you have the entire package at your doorsteps. Do not cringe back. You do know how to fight. You do know how to fight. Then he said, now go forth with victory on your lips. Defeat is a word you do not know. You know my word, and you know it is mighty to pulling down the strongholds. You do know how to fight, but you don't fight. And this is me talking. I watch you. All you do is whine, moan, groan, and complain about what you have to go through to serve God. Well, you know, go back to the devil then. He'll give you a good time till you go to hell, and then he'll torment you. If you don't like suffering for Christ, you don't have to. Walk away. Be happy in your sin. Because one day, you're going to find yourself in hell, and you're going to wish you would have listened, and it'll be too late. Was it the rich man was in hell, and he said to God, he said, send somebody to my brother's room. And, you know, and he said, nope, they wouldn't listen to the prophets. They're not going to listen to anybody that's risen from the dead either. And that's even happening in the church. People are not listening to the prophets. They're not listening to the voice of God. And they're not obeying God. And they're blaming God for what they themselves are putting their own self into. God didn't tell you to sin. He gave you instructions in your word how not to sin. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. No, you don't. Come on, body of Christ. Stand up and be a man or woman. Quit your giving yourself into the devil. Quit leaning to your own understanding and ask God for his understanding. Then God said, use that weapon against the enemy. He cannot stand the word. And your moaning is not the word. Come on. He knows it has power. You know, the devil knows the word has power and authority. And he knows that when you speak it, all angelic heads turn in your direction to fight the battles for you. You wonder why you don't see angels? You're not speaking the right words. You're wondering why you're fighting so hard your own battles? It's because the angels can't come to a negative person and help them fight. Whatever you do, do not back down, God's saying. My angelic hosts are all around about you. Keep moving forward. And 2 Kings 6, 16 through 18 says, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed to God, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. As the enemy came toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. If you walk with God, and you have a relationship with God, he'll do the same with you as he did for Elijah. He will destroy your enemies. And you're sitting here just acting like you're just some poor whipped, I don't know what, and you claim you love the Lord with all of your heart, then why are you always so downtrodden? Why are you always moaning and groaning and complaining? You need to start really looking at your walk with God. Are you really walking with God? You really need to look at this. God said, it is forward motion, not backward motion. My angelic army is standing by call. I'm sorry. My angelic army is standing by, period. Call upon them, give them instructions, and let them proceed in that direction. In 1 Chronicles 21, 8 through 17, then David said to God, I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. The Lord said to Gad, David's seer, go and tell David, this is what the Lord said. I'm giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you. David had numbered the army, and he wasn't supposed to do that, all right? So he had sinned. So Gad went to David and said to him, this is what the Lord says. Take your choice. You can have 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies with their swords overtaking you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord. Days of plague in the land with the angel of the Lord ravaging every part of Israel. Who's going to do the ravaging? The angel of the Lord. Now then, decide how I should answer the one who sent me. David said to Gad, I am in deep distress. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but do not let me fall into human hands. So the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead, all because David numbered the people when God told him not to. Your sin is going to cause others to die. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it and relented concerning the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying the people. Who was destroying the people? An angel. God said, enough, withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth, with a drawn sword in his hand, extending over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell face down. And David said to God, was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I, the shepherd, have sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? See how David's heart? Lord, my God, let your hand fall on me and my family, but do not let this plague remain on your people. Because David sinned, the people were punished. I mean, years ago, when I was disobedient to God, and I would pray and pray before I came to church, God, please don't let my sin fall upon the people. And it never did. So I know what David's talking about here. Your sin will fall upon your wife, your husband, your children in the church. If it could fall on a roommate. And there you sit, so pious. I've noticed one thing, when God's chastising somebody, they don't like that, so they chastise somebody else back. That's a sin in itself. I know married people who, when they're upset with each other, then they take it out on their children. I'm not happy. You're not going to be happy either. Church, we are not a true church. We are not the children of God that we're supposed to be. And, you know, if this is too hard for you, then you need to walk away. There's churches out there will tell you you do whatever you want to and still go to heaven, but you're not going to heaven. You're going to have to walk that thin, narrow path. And you're going to have to start becoming true shepherds of the sheep that God places in your path. God said, I promised you that as I was for Moses, I am for you. He's talking to us. Did I not stay with Moses all the 40 years they wandered in the wilderness? Did I not give Moses instructions along the way? Was I not at the Red Sea waiting to give the Israelites the miracle they needed? And did I not part the Red Sea? And then after the Israelites were safely across, did I not drown every one of their enemies? You know I did, every last one of them. As he was for Moses, he wants to be with the body of Christ. He knows that we have enemies. He knows we're always going to have enemies, and he wants to protect us from our enemies. We ourselves withdraw that protective hand when we come in agreement with the devil. God said, I'm going to do the very same thing for each of you. America is still my country, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Be proud to be an American. You know, we had the 4th of July, so we put away our flags and everything else. Why did you do that? We should be proud to be an American. We should we should fly our flags. We should let people know that we are an American. I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. All right, he said, to be proud to be an American. You need not hang your head low. I knew this day was coming long before it came. I am the master planner, and I had the escape route mapped out before this began. I need you to yield your vessels of honor to me, and I need you to stand tall and firm as this battle rages hotter and hotter. It's not going to quit. The war has already begun. And God's been calling warriors, and the minute he puts you in the front line, you die. You melt like wax, and you run away from the enemy, from the fight. You was bragging, oh, I'm a warrior, I can do this, and no, you couldn't. So God stuck you out there in the front line to prove to you that you weren't really a warrior. Come on. If you're really going to work for God, you're going to be in the front line. And people are going to fire shots at you. And some of them are going to hit you. But that doesn't mean you lay down and play dead. That means you've become a stronger warrior than ever before. That means you're going to take the shot to save the people behind you. That means you're going to pave the way for the lost and the dying. But you're not warriors. The devil comes and says, hey, you want a drink? What do? You take a drink. You don't think about that you're supposed to be a warrior and you're supposed to be strong and mighty and tear down the strongholds. You give in to that enemy and you do exactly what your flesh desires to do. God said the enemy knows his time is short and he is furious because he and his followers could not destroy what I have created. Yes, he has gotten a few licks in here and there, and he will still get more licks in, but he will not win this war. As you stand in the shadow of the valley of death, you will know no evil, for I am with you to lead, guide, and protect you in all your ways. Psalms 23, verse 4 through 6 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You don't believe that. You don't even know that's in the Word. And I say that because I watch how you walk out your walk. Your walk's not good. It's unsteady, and you're not a warrior. You are not helping anybody, not even your own self. Come on. God said, you have been constantly hearing about my disciples and my word. The purpose for that was so you would encourage yourself in the Lord, as they did, and continue on this path of victory at any cost. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. This is Paul speaking. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. all of them ate the same spiritual food. And now listen to what this scripture is telling you. And all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Live when? At the end of the age. And we are the end of the age. We are in a new dispensation of time, and we are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. And that might be 1,000 years, Mel. I don't know. But God is using us to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall, you little prideful bunch. I mean, I watch this all the time. Pride, 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 pride. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. So when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. So don't come to me and say, I just can't get out of this. No, you don't want to get out of this. Because it tells you right there, God makes a way for you to get out of it. You are not prepared in your heart to be a true warrior. It's all lip service, and God wants heart service. John 14:26 says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And then God said, children, set your mind on things above and not on the things of this earth. I'm going to uncover deep mysteries soon. And I want each of you to be partakers of these deep mysteries. You know, I don't know what else God can do for us. He's been wooing us. He's been showing us grace. He's been showing us mercy. He's been showing us long-suffering. And He's finished. Either you're going to follow Him or you're not. And if you're unteachable, then just walk away. And if you don't want to believe this, then walk away. Like I said, there's plenty of churches that will teach you what you want to hear. If you have itching ears, they'll itch your ears for you. But I'm going to tell you right now, you better get yourself together, because you don't have very much more time to do what God's calling you forth to do. And you better be very watchful of how you're walking. If you're professing to be a child of God, you better be living like a child of God. God said we should be living in holiness and righteousness. I hear God say, I'm peeved. In other words, he's upset with the body of Christ. Do you know how he must feel after what his son went through for you? You haven't suffered nothing. Except God might be telling you to put away your toys. And you're like spoiled kids. But you haven't really suffered. You haven't really paid the price that Jesus paid. And I think it's about time you either in or you're out. Either you're following God with all your heart or you're not. Quit making excuses of why you stay in sin. Sin is sin. I don't care what it is. Sin is sin. Gluttony is a sin. All right. Drug addicts is a sin. Adultery is a sin. One sin is not bigger than another sin. In God's eyes, sin is sin. So quit pointing your fingers at somebody else when God's dealing with you. Let God deal with you and let God clean you up, because whenever you stand before God, you can't say, well, you know, they wouldn't do this. That's not going to blow it. That's not going to cut it. You're going to stand there naked and undone all by yourself. And you're going to, Brother Brett saw that one day, didn't you, Brother Brett? He was standing there, and God passed everybody before him that you did something wrong to. Is that what it was? Every last person put some fear into him, didn't it? God's going to hold you responsible for the things that you're doing on this earth. He's going to hold you responsible for how you raised your children. God told me one time, these children are not yours. They're mine. I'm lending them to you for you to bring them up in my ways. So you parents that have children and you treat your children bad and you're a bad example for them, you're going to stand before God and be judged for that. I know we repent, but we're not like David. David did a sin, he repented. He never did that same sin. He did a lot of junk, but he never did it twice. He truly repented of his sin, and he walked. He took his licks. You saw what God did to him. He took his licks, and he went on. What are you doing? Why are you following? Why are you sitting in church here tonight? Why are you watching it over that Zoom or whatever it is? What are you doing this for? Am I trying to push you away from God? No, I'm not. I'm trying to draw you closer to God. I've been at this since I've been 50 years old. And I'm going to tell you, you will pay a price to be a child of God. If you're going to minister his word, you're going to pay a price over and over, just like Paul did, just like the disciples did. You're just not going to walk around just all walking there, you know, no problems. You're not going to do that. You're going to have problems in life. Jesus did. But I was reading before I came to church tonight where Jesus every night went to be with his Father and prayed to his Father and was strengthened so he could come back and do the job he had to do. Being a child of God is like a job, because you have to be at your post at all times. You have to be ready in season and out of season. You don't have no free time. There's too many that has been sitting in the body of Christ about all your life in some sin of some sort. And God has been saying, holiness, holiness, holiness. You young kids, you have no reason to be sinning. You have no reason. I'm bored. I don't have any friends. Well, quit being unbored. Get before God and talk to God. He's your friend. You know, get before God, be righteous, and let him send the angels to play with you. You know, I do not like to hear a child say, well, I'm bored. I need somebody to talk to. I need some friends. Well, you have Jesus. I know that I'm rough tonight, but God is really upset with the body of Christ. You've heard the truth, you've been loved, you've been nurtured, and you still come against your teacher even. And your teacher's Jesus Christ. You act like what he did is nothing. All right, so let's just take you and let's just beat you up real good with a baseball bat and everything else. And let's just whip you with a whip like he was whipped and put the thorn, a crown of thorns on your head and make you carry a cross up a hill. See how you like that? You haven't paid a price for nothing. I expect a whole lot out of anybody who comes through these doors. Because God said everybody he sends through these doors are supposed to be a minister of the gospel. And I expect you to be strong. I expect you to be out of sin. I don't see that though. I don't see husbands loving their wives or wives loving their husbands. I don't see you taking all your problems to the Father. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. When's it going to stop? You're the only one who can stop this mess in your life. I can't stop it. I've tried. It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit wants to work deep within inside of you. Every one of those songs you sang tonight had a meaning to them. I played that one, the very first one. Do you give your repentance before the Father? So he went, Bop, you're really good. You know, yes, he does show a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, but some of you, you've worn out his grace and his mercy. The love of God is not in you because you're so quick to be angry and controlling, and that isn't God. God is really speaking to your heart tonight. I just know with every part of my being that this fall is going to be when he drops his glory. And the signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be happening. And I know that God right now is trying to get you cleaned up. Because he said he's separating now the sheep from the goats. He's trying to get you cleaned up so he can use you this fall. You are the one who determines that. Do you think I don't have to check myself every day? Do you think that I live in a place where there's goody, goody, goody? I live right in my own home. Sin is all around about me. Every room I go to, every place I go, there's sin. There's people living with me that have this sin nature that I've never seen before. It's like you're looking in hell every day you get up and walk out of your room. How do you think I cope with that? I give it to God. I have to stay before the Father, or I wouldn't even be sitting here tonight. So what has happened? Satan has put sickness on my body. Sometimes it's all I can do to get dressed to come here. But I'm here. When I get here, God, he just drops his glory on me, and I can do the things he wants me to do. Because I told him, God, I want to be a vessel of honor. And I should have been dead a couple years ago, but I cried out to God. I said, God, please, don't take me yet. I have two little boys I'm trying to raise. So he extended my life. But he didn't take away the pain. He didn't take away the sickness. He didn't take away the hurt that people heap on me when I'm trying to help them and they go behind my back and talk about me. And you think I don't know that, but I do. I do. But I keep on going. I keep on going. What are you going to do with your life after tonight? Well, there wasn't anything wrong with me when I come in. Good. Then don't put that shoe on. If the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't put it on. But God, I'm hearing God say, but you're going to be held accountable one day. And you better know in your heart that you're right with me when you're held accountable. There's souls out there right now that every one of you in here should be touching, and you're not because you're still going back to your old ways. We can't go back to our old ways anymore. We have to move forward. Are you ready to move forward? Are you really ready to move forward? If not, you might as well just quit. Hang it up right now. Because God has told us if the church doesn't do it, the world will. He'll go out into the world and bring them in. And he'll use the world. Do you want somebody else to take your mantle tonight? Because God said he's getting ready to take your mantle and give it, you know, he said, I'm getting ready to take people's mantles and give them to somebody else. Do you want to fulfill what God has spoken over your life, or do you want somebody else to do it for you? That's totally up to you. Nobody's getting my mantle. Nobody's going to steal my crown. And if you don't have that mindset, you're done. And if you have that mindset, then you're going to fight that enemy like you never fought him before. You're not going to let him have one single piece of ground. You're going to keep it all for God. The altar is open this morning this evening for those of you who truly, truly want to serve God with every part of your fiber of your being. And you know you're not walking right with God. He already knows that. God's ready to change you and rearrange you if you're ready to really and truly be the child of God that God's calling you forth to be.